This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin, Chuang and Shaoning. Now, we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking you if you are invested in the local stock markets. Essentially, how old are you? Are you below 18? Are you 18 to 34, 35 and up? Or are you just simply not invested? We've had about 50 votes so far. And with an hour left to vote, you still can weigh in if you'd like. So far, the majority seems to be not invested in the local stock markets at 40%. 37% have said that they are within the 18 to 34 age bracket, and 24% that they are 35 and up. Absolutely none are below 18. Now, the reason why we're asking this is because according to Stashaway Malaysia, less than 5% of young investors are placing their money into the local stock market.
Okay, so here's the dichotomy, right? Jay, dichotomy word for you, Lindmark. Okay, so for BFM listeners who have done the poll, 4 out of 10 respondents have said they are invested and they're between 18 to 34. So they're the young. But the Stashaway survey is only 5%, okay? So the national average, I'm sure it will be way below that, so maybe 1, 2%. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Lack of choice, they don't understand equity markets. There's a fear that they could be part of there's market manipulation fears. And there's also higher ticket prices, right? I mean, in a lot of companies that are in the stock market are not businesses that they can relate to. I mean, why would a young person, you know, buy into a palm oil company or an oil and gas company when that person is more interested in, say, gaming or, Bitcoin, for example?
I think a lot of it has to do with financial literacy, right? That people don't realize that there are ways to invest. It's like not so easy, or the information isn't so easily out there for you to go and say, okay, let me go and open a broking account, for example, if I want to invest directly. They don't know how to do it. Who do I go to? Secondly, after you open a broking account, what shares do you buy? It's like a minefield, right? There's 900 over companies on the Bursa Stock Exchange. Let's just concentrate on Malaysia. Where do you even begin, right? So it's like so complicated that you just don't even start.
And this assuming there's disposable income, right?
Yes.
Between 18 and 34, how many people? I mean, certainly I didn't save any money until I was in my mid-30s because cost of living was just too high. Then, now, even worse.
Yeah, so essentially, the fact that this generation of people have been ignored by the financial services industry only compounds the problem because they don't have a lot of disposable income. And traditionally, only those with a lot of money tend to be approached to actually invest in the stock markets. And because millennials just don't have access to good financial advice and tools, it could be that they are more unwilling or just not certain of how to go about entering the investment markets. But the financial services industry, they can't really ignore this group any longer because nowadays they're making up the larger adult population and they will continue to grow in the next few years. Wealth managers are actually expecting the net worth of millennials is going to double in 2020 compared to 2015.
Yeah, so the question is, why should Malaysia care? Why does Malaysia need more young people to invest in the share market? Why is the share market so indispensable to the country's development, right? Why?
Well, on some level, it does give you a chance to save up for your old age, right? And that's an issue that we are keep on getting confronted with because we are living longer. And the data does show that, let's say, if you just rely on EPF, it may not be enough. When you retire at 55 or 60 for some of us, and that savings, right, I think there's some data that comes out to show that it only lasts 5 years. So if you haven't put away enough for a rainy day, come 65, 70, you're just going to be out of cash and that's going to be a tragic situation. So one way of having that buffer is to start looking at the stock market. But of course, that's not without risk.
Yeah, assuming your savings are not decimated by the global market crashes that are happening almost on a fortnightly basis, right? If you had, say, put in money, say, 2 weeks ago, you would have been marking a huge loss by now because of where the global volatility is, right?
Which is why you need to go back to some of the mantras of investing, one of which is don't time the market because the market is always is always right or wrong depending on when you enter. So some of the old-fashioned advice like dollar cost averaging is not necessarily a bad thing, right? And yeah, it may be difficult when you're an independent individual. So for some of us, an option could be like a fund or an exchange-traded fund where the fees are lower. But the unfortunate thing in Malaysia is that we have a bit of lack of choice. We don't have a sophisticated investment environment, let's say in the case of Hong Kong or even US, where there's a plethora of choice, and you can even choose certain things which fit your own personal mandate, like environmental, social concerns. That's very popular now, and the funds are doing quite well. We don't have those options in Malaysia, or less of those options in Malaysia.
But I guess the introduction of technology is also going to be an interesting facet to this, right? Because millennials tend to be a more tech-savvy generation, so we may see more wealth management firms creating products geared towards this kind of technological innovation, maybe using smartphone apps. I mean, Stashaway themselves that came out with this survey, they are a robo-advisory firm, so that's quite interesting as well. But there is still the value of face-to-face meetings for advice. Now, technology should only function as an additional way to communicate and invest, right? Because there have been surveys to say that despite the fact that the global trend seems to be moving towards robotics and AI, a lot of people still do prefer actually talking to a physical person when it comes to hospitality and when it comes to things like trust and who do I trust in order to invest my money.
Yeah, because the individual will probably give you your first 101 on investing, on finance, right? And a robot somehow just can't do that.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't understand the concept of dollar cost averaging, listen to Roshan Karnesan at 9:35 on Ringgit and Sense, where just to have a shameless plug, he will be explaining that concept. But yeah, I think you're right. But before any of that can happen, young Malaysians need to earn more money in terms of the salary to put away some money, because right now there is no proposition for them to put any money into investing because there isn't enough of the salary after paying for the cost.
Do you know,
and it's just a sad truth of the matter.
And do you know what's also scary? It's that there are estimates that less than half of the labour force of 14.5 million people actually have active EPF accounts. So even beyond the fact that they don't have disposable income, they don't actually have any plan for their retirement almost. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have an EPF and you're not actively contributing to your EPF, it won't be enough to sustain you once you no longer have an active income.
And it might get worse because actually, ironically, more people are entering into the gig economy rather than regular jobs, where in some way
put into your EPF, right?
Yeah, you're on your own, right? So you have to kind of decide that I need to put aside X dollar every month into my EPF.
The thing is, with Stashaway and even to some extent HoloGold, right? HoloGold is this gold platform. You can put away small ticket sizes like 1 ringgit, 5 ringgit, 10 ringgit. And these things are very, very easy. They're digital. They are easily transferable back and forth. And, you know, they're just revisiting the whole concept of currency and what money is, essentially.
I don't know whether we should also look at other models, like, for example, in Australia, where financial planning is something that a lot of people do and they do it holistically. Here, unfortunately, maybe you see a unit trust agent, you see another agent, but it's in piece and meal, in bits and pieces, rather than someone sitting down with you and looking at all your financial assets. So looking at whether you can afford a house, whether you can look at a car, what your retirement goals are, and the different products. So this individual is not tied to any particular company. He works on his own.
Well, those people here exist in Malaysia, except that they tend to be product specific, and that's where they get the most commissions from. So you're not even sure whether they're going to give you the best return for your money.
Unsurprising then, I guess, that there have been surveys to say that Malaysians actually do dread growing old, because at the end of the day, you're not sure if you're going to have enough money to sustain you once you're no longer actively working. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.